אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Israel marked Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance for fallen soldiers and victims of terrorism on Tuesday, and Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day on Wednesday, under lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. Formalities took place without audiences and were broadcast on television. In a controversial decision, the government closed all cemeteries on Tuesday to prevent the crowds of bereaved families who traditionally make a pilgrimage to the graves of their loved ones on Yom HaZikaron. A highlight of the official ceremony at the Kotel was the speech by Chief of Staff Aviv Kochavi. He said, "The whole nation of Israel is grieving today, but the pain of your families cannot be described. It is constant and infinite, residing in the heart and consciousness, present like the circulation of blood in the body and pulsing continuously." The past year saw 75 names added to the list of fallen soldiers and 33 disabled veterans who succumbed to injuries sustained during their service. One civilian, Rina Schnerb, was added to the list of terror victims after she was killed in a bombing attack near Dolev last August. At the Yom HaAtzmaut traditional torch lighting ceremony on Har Herzl, which honors 12 outstanding individuals, the country's heart was stolen by 92-year-old Renee Abitbol, who walked, made her speech and lit the torch without aid. Renee, who has lived to see the birth of a great-great-grandchild until the coronavirus struck, was taking two buses every day to and from Shaaret Tzedek Hospital to volunteer with patients, and is anxious for the virus restrictions to be over so that she can resume her volunteering. The International Bible Quiz took place with international contestants joining by Zoom. The winner was Ruth Cohen, a 16-year-old from Gedera, the first female victor in a decade. Second place was Moshe Giladi from Kfar Etzion. Chaim Natan Shildes from the US came third, and Miriam Sharam from Mexico finished fourth. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit wrote on Thursday in an opinion submitted to the High Court of Justice that there is no legal obstacle to Benjamin Netanyahu forming and leading the next government, despite the criminal charges against him. The opinion was a response to a petition filed to the High Court that will be heard today in front of an expanded panel of 11 judges. Mandelblit said in his opinion that it was given without detracting from the severity of the indictment filed against Netanyahu and without undermining the need for the court to demand strict adherence to incorruptibility among elected officials. He continued, "The fact that the legislature did not make an explicit provision regarding the situation in which an indictment is filed against a prime minister until his conviction by a final verdict with regard to an offence where there is moral turpitude is a conscious choice." The Movement for Quality Government, one of the groups petitioning to disqualify Netanyahu from forming a government, said they were saddened by this weak response from the person in charge of upholding the law. Netanyahu's supporters charge that the court lacks the legal authority to rule against Netanyahu, as Israeli law only requires a prime minister to resign if he or she is convicted of a serious crime and all appeals are exhausted. The High Court today is also due to hear a petition against the coalition agreement between Likud and Kohol Levan. Anti-Netanyahu protesters gathered in Tel Aviv's Rabin Square last night to protest the coalition deal ahead of the High Court of Justice's hearing on its constitutionality this morning. Demonstrations also took place last night and earlier in the week in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Bet Shemesh, Haifa, Kfar Qasim and Eilat against the government's insufficient economic response to the coronavirus pandemic to support small businesses and the self-employed. Self-employed workers are not entitled to unemployment benefits. They received a one-off payment of 6,000 shekels last week. And last week, the government approved a plan, including a second stipend, equaling 70% of their regular income. The cabinet is meeting today to discuss further easing coronavirus restrictions, including opening malls and markets. Figures suggest the country has largely managed to curb the spread of the coronavirus. 80% of Israeli towns and villages have reported no new COVID-19 cases for several days. Only four cities nationwide have had more than five cases in the past few days: Jerusalem, Hura, Bnei Barak, and Bet Shemesh.
Several hospitals have not had a new coronavirus patient in recent days and are repurposing virus wards back into general treatment centres. Jerusalem's Sha'aret Tzedek Medical Centre has closed 4 out of 6 of its coronavirus wards. 2 people died overnight Friday-Saturday from COVID-19, taking the death toll to 227. There have been over 16,000 confirmed coronavirus cases in Israel. 9,400 people have recovered from the virus as of Friday evening, while 6,525 were still infected, 107 in a serious condition, 84 of whom are on ventilators. The Health Ministry on Thursday released an epidemiological study that found that children can carry and transmit COVID-19, but at a lower rate than adults. The study tracked the spread of the virus in 562 households in Bnei Barak. More than half the people in the study were under the age of 20. Bnei Barak saw a severe outbreak of the disease last month. Children in households with at least one family member who had the virus were 20 to 50% less likely to get infected than adults, with younger children less likely to contract the disease than older ones. Infants were more susceptible, possibly due to closer contact with parents or breastfeeding while their mothers were infected. Children were 20 to 75% less likely than adults to infect others. The study encouraged the government to announce on Friday that schools would reopen from grades 1 to 3, along with grades 11 and 12, today. However, despite the decision, a number of cities, including Tel Aviv, Ramat Gan, Be'er Sheva, Bnei Barak, Ramat HaSharon, and parts of Beit Shemesh and Jerusalem, said they were not given enough notice to return students to classes today. The government's guidelines for schools to reopen include daily temperature checks for every student entering the grounds, all students from grades 2 and above to wear masks outside the classroom, students are barred from sharing food, drinks and supplies, and there will be no games using a ball, and every student will be required to wash hands when entering the classroom. Classes will be split so that no more than 15 children will be in a class together. Kindergartens were supposed to be opening too, but teachers and municipalities made it clear that they were not able to implement the restrictions demanded of them. They had neither the staff nor the physical facilities to comply. It is hoped that a solution will be found this week so that parents can return to work. The Health Ministry is pushing for criminal sanctions against a man who shopped at an IKEA store last week despite not feeling well and who was later confirmed to have the coronavirus. If found guilty of endangering public health, he could face up to 3 years in prison. IKEA has been a focal point of protesters after its megastores were allowed to open last week before many smaller businesses and other public facilities. And finally, the Kinneret is at its highest level in 2 decades. This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.